Today, some home prices boom higher as expected, but words and figures differ. And again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Well, housing affordability is getting worse. Home prices continue to track higher in September, according to the latest data from Catality. The recent three rate cuts have put a rocket on price movements, pumped by high migration demand, investor demand, and from first-time buyers, demand, of course, which will be pumped further as the enhanced government scheme starts today. Promoting a headline in the AFR that, quote, unprecedented demand on day one of first home buyer scheme. The government is talking a big game in terms of housing affordability, but words and figures differ. And even Reserve Bank of Australia Governor Michelle Bullock on Tuesday said government policies to expand housing supply would take more than 2 years to have an impact. Now, just for a point of clarification, markets are still behaving very differently, with markets in Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, Darwin and Perth dubbed at peak by Cotality, while markets are still down in Hobart, off 9.5% from its peak back in March 2022. Canberra is down 3.98% from its May 2022 peak, and Melbourne is down 2.7% from its March 2022 peak, when prices responded to the ultra-low interest rates and COVID-era government stimulus. Prices have risen a silly 82.7% in Perth over the past 5 years, although recall that before that they'd fallen significantly. They're up 80.1% in Brisbane over 5 years and up 77.2% in Adelaide over 5 years, putting many locals out of the market. Sydney prices, by the way, are up a mere 37.9% over the same five-year period, whereas in Melbourne, they're up just 17.5%. And remember that those aren't inflation adjusted. In real terms, Sydney is flat and Melbourne is, well, deep underwater. This is why it's important to go granular rather than taking high-level aggregate data points. Anyway, Catality says Australian housing markets are gathering strength as we head further into spring, with September marking the strongest monthly gain for national dwelling values since October 2023. The Catality Home Value Index, the HVI, recorded a 0.8% increase in September, powered by robust growth conditions across capital cities, where values rose 0.9% over the month. On a quarterly basis, the national HVI increased 2.2%, up from a 1.5% lift in the June quarter, and double the 1.1% increase seen over the past 3 months to March. In dollar terms, the September quarter rise was equivalent to $18,215 rise in the median value. Growth has once again become broad-based, they said, with every capital city and rest of state region recording an increase in dwelling values over the month, quarter, and the most recent 12-month period. That being said, some divergence in the pace of growth is once again emerging. Perth and Brisbane are again pulling ahead of the larger capitals, with values up 4% and 3.5% respectively through the September quarter, with the pace of gains being led by the unit market. Darwin is showing an even stronger run on growth, with values jumping 5.9% higher over the past 3 months. The number of homes for sale at the end of September was about 43% lower than average in Darwin, 45% below average in Perth, and down 31% in Brisbane. At the same time, estimates for quarterly home sales are tracking above average, demonstrating a clear disconnect between demand and supply. Most cities are seeing stronger growth rates for houses and units, with capital city values up 2.4% and 1.7% respectively through the September quarter. But Brisbane is the outlier, with unit values consistently rising at a faster pace than housing values over the past 7 quarters due to a severe supply shortage. Perth and Hobart have also seen unit values outpace houses in the September quarter, though this trend has been less consistent than in Brisbane. Home values have risen across each of the broad value tiers, but the strongest pace of growth was rippling from the lower quartile of the market to the broad middle. This is likely a reflection of increased borrowing capacity, thanks to low interest rates, which in turn is supporting demand at slightly higher price points. The rental sector, though, showed that the national vacancy rate slipped to another new record low of 1.4% in September, with only 1.1% of Australian units and 1.7% of houses estimated to be vacant and available for lease in September. Among the capitals, Darwin recorded the strongest quarterly increase in rents, up 2.9% in season-adjusted terms, followed by Hobart with a 1.9% rise, in Perth at 1.7%. Adelaide was up 0.4% and Melbourne 0.8%, and they recorded the mildest rental increases over the past 3 months. Although rental growth has rebounded, we are once again seeing home values rising at a faster pace than rents, which has seen gross rental yields reduce a little further in recent months. Nationally, gross rental yields came in at 3.65% in September. That's the lowest since November last year. And across the capitals, gross rental yields range from 7.8% for units in Darwin to 2.6% for houses in Sydney. Weirdly, this is why we are seeing some property investors looking to sell into the rising market. Now, of course, Labor's election commitment took effect on Wednesday, expanding the first home guarantee, so first-time buyers could avoid paying commercial lenders' mortgage insurance for deposits as low as 5%. By abolishing the previous income limits of $125,000 for singles and $200,000 for couples, Treasury estimates that it will make 70,000 people eligible in the first year from its accelerated October the 1st start date, up from a maximum of 50,000 annual places previously. Nicola Powell, Chief of Research and Economics at Domain, said that the demand-side policy would bid up prices for apartments and houses in the outer suburbs. We're going to see higher prices for more affordable homes from this first home buyer incentive, she said. And Nerica Cosby, Chief Economist at national real estate firm Ray White, said the scheme would push up property prices in the bottom 25% of the market that is typically targeted by first-time buyers. It will lead to faster growth in the more affordable part of the market, up to the price point where the 5% scheme cuts out for each capital city, she said. The expanded guarantee will become available for all first purchases worth up to $1.5 million in Sydney, $950,000 in Melbourne, $1 million in Brisbane and Canberra, $850,000 in Perth, $900,000 in Adelaide and $700,000 in Hobart. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and Housing Minister Claire O'Neill on Wednesday pointed to private Treasury advice that the programme was expected to increase house prices by a mere 0.5% overall nationally over 6 years. Now, conveniently, though, Treasury estimates released by the government omit the short-term price impact that allowed Albo to say they suggest a very small increase, but what it will do is to allow more young people to get into home ownership. Bit of a spin there, I think. Actually, the Treasury modelling also considers the National Housing Supply and Affordability Council forecast that 938,000 new homes will be built over the 5 years to June 2029. That's well below the 1.2 million target. And to attempt to make up the shortfall, the government is offering a $3 billion incentive for states to boost the building of new homes and the $10 billion Housing Australia Future Fund's funding for social and affordable housing. All up, though, a 60-page report by Lateral Economics for the Insurance Council of Australia estimated that the expanded government scheme would enable around 20,639,100 buyers to purchase earlier than otherwise, but that the bringing forward of demand will potentially increase national property prices by somewhere between 3.5 and 6.6% in the first year. And remember that prospective buyers trying to purchase a home with a 5% deposit will still need to earn high enough incomes to pass a bank's serviceability requirements. Their income may not be sufficient to service the loan, especially if no further RBA rate cuts are forthcoming. University of Queensland economist John Quiglin argues that the scheme has the perverse effect of the government being incentivized to support higher home prices, opposite of what aspiring first buyers actually want. The government will be liable for billions of dollars of insurance payouts to banks in the event of any future housing market crash that leaves defaulting borrowers in negative equity, Quiglin reminds us. It gives government a strong incentive to make sure house prices don't fall, he says. Another overlooked problem is the detrimental impact on the insurance market, as the government takeover of 30% of the LMI market will leave less depth and diversity in the private insurance pool. Over time, it could lead to a problem known in insurance economics as adverse selection, either for the government insurer or private insurers if their cohorts of borrowers turn out to be significantly more risky. First-time buyers are actually reliable loan repayers and have had low housing arrears between 2019 and 2024, according to the Reserve Bank of Australia. Borrowers with high debt relative to the value of their property, though, with a loan-to-value ratio of greater than 80%, had arrears about three times higher. But Australia has not had a serious mortgage stress test with high unemployment since the early 1990s, so the underlying resilience of borrowers is not accurately known. And of course, my modelling suggests that there are many people close to the edge in cash flow terms, but are still managing just to keep their head above water at the moment. And it's worth noting that the private LMA market is shrinking. It's more than half from a peak of $1.3 billion in gross written premiums in the year 2020-21, down to $533 million in the year 2023-24. This is due to the Morrison government's introduction of the taxpayer back scheme and its subsequent expansion by Labor, as well as other factors such as big banks self-insuring more borrowers. The decline in revenue has put financial pressure on LMA providers Helia, formerly Genworth Financial, QB Insurance, and Arch. Helia, which accounts for about half of the private LMA market, charges an average premium of around $9,000 per borrower. Actually, there's talk in the industry about potential mergers or maybe one of the players dropping out. The government nationalisation of the first buyer LMI market could reduce competition and push premiums up for property investors, and first buyers not eligible for the scheme. It actually could lead to the farcical situation where the government is crowding out the LMI market, and then the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission and Treasurer Jim Chalmers potentially blocks the merger of LMI players that cannot financially survive. LMI providers have high fixed costs of around 45% of their total operating costs. With private LMI actively forecast to decline by 30%, premiums will need to rise around 19% for the providers to maintain current profitability. Any premium increase will affect non-first home buyers and first home buyers who do not meet the eligibility requirements, where they buy a property with a value exceeding the property price cap. Helia chief executive said that LMI providers will need scale in a smaller market. A smaller market makes it harder for everyone to have the critical mass to continue what we're doing, so LMI providers will need to be leaner and fitter going forward. Another flaw is that taxpayers are taking on undisclosed risk, according to Alex Sanchez, a former economic advisor to Albanese and a former policy manager at the Insurance Council. The government is taking so much risk on its balance sheet with housing, Sanchez says, also pointing to other policies such as the $10 billion Housing Australia Future Fund. Treasury has not disclosed the contingent liability of the deposit guarantee. Maybe it could reach $62 billion by 2030, who knows? In the event of a large recession accompanied by a property crash, where 5% of first-time buyers default and the government has to convert 15% of the property values relating to mortgages in default, the government could be liable for around, well, $3 billion in payouts. Such taxpayer bailouts will almost certainly occur at the same time that the government is spending tens of billions of dollars on supporting other parts of the economy, potentially including banks. Borrowers will still have to undergo credit tests from banks, meaning not all borrowers with a deposit as low as 5% will automatically receive a loan, despite the impression the government gives. Only a few borrowers have defaulted under the existing scheme. But this has occurred during low unemployment, and national house prices have risen very strongly, as I discussed earlier. There's also been very few buyers, therefore, defaulting in negative equity. It's worth remembering that LMI providers paid out claims of only $296 million between 2019 and 2024, so they had quite a nice ride. But those payouts were fourfold higher at $1.2 billion between 2014 and 2019, when interest rates were higher and unemployment was worse, according to industry figures. Payouts have been $2.8 billion over the past 15 years. So taxpayers probably should be aware there are risks here. So all up, as discussed over the past couple of weeks in my shows, there are big questions for prospective first-time buyers as they chase prices higher, stoked by a program which is meant to help housing affordability, but this actually does not compute because, well, as I say, words and figures, they differ. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultant standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.